want to talk this morning about the soul of man and the spirit of man. And I was thinking as we were worshiping the Lord, this day is pretty important to the Lord. And he wants you to come into his house. He wants us to worship him. His spirit moves throughout the midst of us here. He moves throughout the congregation, desiring to bless each and every individual. If there's a need in your life, the Holy Spirit wants to meet that need. And as we come to the house of the Lord, and we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in the Word of God, which he has put into our heart, then the scripture tells us that faith arises up. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's the evidence of things not seen. So when we come into his house, he's put his spirit in us. He's called us to worship, if you will. That's what he has made us for, is to worship him. Many people choose to use the name of Jesus. Many people say they believe in the name of Jesus. They believe in Jesus, but they don't listen to what Jesus says. They don't listen to his word. And there's reasons why we do what we do. We're quite a unique creation. And so this morning, I kind of want to talk about what makes us tick, if you will. What makes us who we are. What makes us think the way that we think, and what makes us do the things that we do. Because there's a reason for all of that. If you're doing things that the Lord would have you to do, there's a reason why you're doing that. You're not just doing it automatically. There's a reason. Because that's the way that God has created us. If we're doing the things that we want to do instead of what the Lord would have us to do, there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we do those things. There's a reason why we act like we act. There's a reason why we feel like we feel. And I think if we understand what God has done when he created humankind, if you will, or mankind, if we understand the process and what happened there, then it's a little bit easier to figure out why we're doing what we're doing or why we're not doing what we should be doing. Because I know that we all want to please God. Do you all here today want to please God? Can you say yes? Yes, amen. We want to please God. Do we always please God? No, we don't, do we? Sometimes we get stuck in a rut over here, and we're doing this or we're doing that, and we can't quite understand why I'm stuck over here when I know that I should be over here. I know that I should be doing this or I should be doing that. So I want to talk about the soul this morning, the soul of man. The soul is our personality, who we are. With our souls, we think, we reason, we consider, we remember, and wonder. We experience emotions like happiness, love, sorrow, anger, relief, and compassion. And we are able to resolve, choose, and make decisions. That's our soul. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. And God created every human soul. We're a creation of God. And he put these things in us. He put us the capacity to love. He put in us the capacity to choose from right and wrong and to do what is good, or we could choose to do evil. And I think we all kind of understand that in our own selves. We realize that oftentimes we do the right things, and then a lot of times we do the wrong things. But I believe that as Christians and as believers in Christ, our desire is to always do the right thing. I know that's my desire. I want to do the right thing all the time. And God puts that desire in us when he created us as a living soul. The soul of man is his mind, will, and emotions. Every human ever born has a soul that was made in the image of God. Our souls will live forever. There's not one single human being on the face of this earth from the time of Adam and Eve that doesn't have a soul and that won't live for eternity. We will all live for eternity. The question is where are we going to live for eternity? We know that because of the fall of Adam and Eve, when they had sinned against God and their nature changed, the Holy Spirit could no longer dwell on the inside of them because of the sin that they had committed, and they received something there when they ate that fruit, didn't they? And what was that? It was a knowledge of good and evil. And now man no longer would go to God for the answer. He would decide for himself what the answer was. And isn't that our problems often? Is that we figure it out with our own wisdom, with our own knowledge, and then we do what seems right in our eyes. That's what the whole world does. All across this earth, every human being has that knowledge of good and evil within them, and they decide. They have become their own God. We have become our own God without the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. The Spirit of God left them when they had sinned against God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That word, fear him. Sometimes I think that is a forgotten trait that God wants in our hearts and in our lives. Because there's not much fear of God today in the earth, is there? People don't fear God. They'll make jokes about hell and about eternity and about where they're going. And they have no idea of judgment day and what will truly happen to them. Because they're following their own ways, their own desires. But God tells us, and I believe that every single one of us who has come out here today, we're in the house of the Lord. And one of the reasons that we're here is because we do have the fear of God in our hearts and in our lives. I fear God. I fear the fact that I would miss him or not have him in my life. Have you ever thought about what you would be like since Christ has come into your life if he wasn't there anymore? If you went your own way, God forbid that would ever happen to me. I can remember sometimes when I would be tempted by Satan to do some of the things that I used to do before I knew the Lord. And I can remember on one occasion, because I used to drink, and I was tempted to drink. And I remember talking to the devil, and I said, "I'm not going back there. Why would I go back there?" And I used the word Egypt. Why would I go back to Egypt into bondage and live under that bondage again? that I was under, and I was truly under bondage. If any of you have ever experienced that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there are literally all kinds of things that can put us into bondage, and we don't want to be there. The scripture tells us, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And I've been free for 51 years, and I don't want to go back to slavery. Yes, we all should be praising God. I have left Egypt, and I'm not going back. And so he says that we should fear God because he is the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. In Genesis 2:7, in the King James Version, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. God breathed life into this body, and that is what makes man different from the animals. This soul is capable of knowing God and enjoying God. It is also capable of sinning against God, something that the animals can't do. They don't have a soul, and they can't sin against God, but we do. We were made in his image. And once Adam and Eve took of the fruit and sin entered in to the soul of man, we now have the capacity to sin. And a lot of us will excuse our sins. We'll just say, well, you know, you know my phrase that I'll use around here. People say, well, I'm only human. Is that true? No, it's not, is it? Because now we have a divine nature. We've been born again of the Spirit of God. We have God's power on the inside of us, and we do not have to sin. But the animals can't sin because they don't have a soul. Man has a capacity to do good or evil. Everything which comes not by the new birth but by natural birth is flesh, and will only bring to man, only bring glory to man and not to God. So whatever we do that is of this flesh, Paul says in Romans 7:18, I think it is, he said, "For I know that in me, that is within my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." In other words, I want to do good, but I can't. You know that chapter. The good that I would, that I do not, but that which I hate, that I do. Now, this is the fleshly man. You and I do not have the power and ability to live the life that God wants us to live. We do not have that power. The only way that we can do that is to be born again of the Spirit of God. And then once the Spirit of God comes in, then he sets us free, and that power resides in us. He said that he will be in us. So the Holy Spirit's in us, and now we have power over sin. We have power over our old man, and now we can live the way that God wants us to live. The problem is we still have that old soul, don't we? That flesh. We still have that. And the scripture tells us that the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and the two are contrary one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you ought. And so there's this fight going on. If y'all born again out there, you understand what I'm saying, that there's this fight going on. Because the Spirit of God that's living on the inside of us wants to please God all the time. All the time, every time. The Spirit of the Lord wants us to please God. But there's another nature within us, which is called the soul of man, where we live, and there's our mind, our will, and our emotions, and the flesh, because sin has entered in, has its own desires. That's where temptation comes in. And I better stick with my notes, or I'm going to get off here. Adam let sin in by choosing to have his soul develop to a place where he could go on by himself apart from God. When he chose to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, his spirit died. So now he doesn't have the Spirit of God to guide him and to show him the way of the Lord. Now he's figuring all these things out for himself. I want us to think about it this morning. Are you figuring all these things out by yourself, by your own wisdom, by your own strength, by your own knowledge? Now, there's things that develop the soul, and there's things that develop the spirit, and it's the way we live. It's what we listen to. It's what we eat, not in a sense of food, but everything that we allow to come in develops our thoughts. And I don't know what you're letting in. I don't know what kind of information is feeding you. But if we're not allowing the Word of God to come in, then we're developing our thoughts aside from the Holy Spirit. And most of the times, it's against what the Holy Spirit would do. We might say to ourselves, well, I think it's all right to do this or to do that, you know. And I know a few weeks ago, Bill, as you were preaching, you had mentioned something about drinking, and drinking's one of the things that really I had a real problem with as a young man. And when God took this away from me, I didn't ever want to go back to it. So I would never tempt myself to allow myself to have a drink after that. So I've never had a drink since then, in 50 some years. But if I was to allow my soul to make the decision for me. And I want you to think about this, because this is what's happening every day in our lives. We're either making our decisions based on what we think, which is our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. Our mind is figuring this thing out. We either do it based on that, or we make our decision based on what the Holy Spirit would say. But how do we know what the Holy Spirit is saying? There's only one way that you can know what the Holy Spirit is saying, and that is by God's Word. And in my experience over the years, I can remember on one occasion, I was teaching a class on the book of Colossians. And this one individual, this was before the class had started, and in fact, they were signing up for classes at that time. It was back at the old campus there. And this one individual who was well up in years, he was not a kid, he was well up in years and had attended church for a while, and he said to me, Colossians? He said, is that Old Testament or New? And I thought to myself, this man's been in church for quite a while now, and he doesn't even know that Colossians is in the New Testament. And that just told me one thing, that he's not in this book. He's not reading. He's not filling his spirit up. So if the Word of God's not in there, something else is going in there. And we can all judge ourselves here this morning. What do you got going in to your heart and into your mind? What's feeding it? Is it everything that's happening today? We know that we're living in in some very difficult times, and I believe with all my heart it's the end times. We're to the place now in society where we're calling evil good and good evil. We are doing things in today's world that I could probably say all of us, even the younger ones here that are here, would say, I can't believe that a man would marry another man or a woman would marry another woman, that they would be saying that there's, I don't know how many genders they're saying there is now, but it's quite a few that you're not, even though you think you're a man, maybe you're not a man, you know. Whoever dreamed that the world would ever come to this? But God told us in his word, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And that's the days that we're living in. So if we allow this world, if we allow the television, if you will, the news broadcast, if we allow our conversation to be constantly in the world, then what do you think that's going to do to our nature, who we are, what we think, and how we feel? We're only going to be living a life of sin if we allow all that to happen. The only way you can get away from sin is by having Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, be on the inside of us and get his word into us. Okay, there's some more scriptures I want to share here as we get into this. The soul and our flesh are one in the same. Without having God's Spirit in us, we make all of our decisions based on our own desires, which may or may not be right. But we make all of our decisions. And one thing that just really has always been on my heart for many, many years now, and again, I've been in the house of the Lord now 51 years. And one thing that's really been in on my heart about that is the fact that people don't revere the Lord's Day as they should. God created us to worship him. Isn't that what he did? And he created a day, said he worked six, he rested on the seventh. The seventh is a holy day. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, he said. This is a holy day that we're here today. We have come to the Lord's house. We have come to receive from him. And God wants so badly to bless each and every one of us. He wants to pour out his Spirit upon us. He wants to give us good gifts. He wants to give us good things. He said in John, he said, "Dearly beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth." He wants to bless us, body, soul, and spirit. He wants to bless us. And the only way he can do that is when we are led by the Spirit. When we are filled by the Spirit, we will always do what God wants us to do if we are filled with God's Spirit. And we know that this is a constant filling. You don't just get filled one time and you're full. It's like a tank of gas. You use it, it starts to go down, you got to fill it back up. And partially, that's what Sundays are all about, is getting filled up with God, getting ready for my week so that I can be the light that Jesus wants me to be. So he says, we make all our own decisions, which may or may not be right. And this is where sin comes in. James 1:14 says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Remember Eve, the temptation? I want that. The devil tempted her and said, look at that fruit. Look how beautiful it is. And just think, if you take that fruit, you'll be just like God. She was tempted. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took it. She was tempted and she took it. I can remember as a young man, and as we were raising our family up, we had a small house, and we actually had four kids in one bedroom at one time. And I can remember me and the wife going for a drive out in the country and looking for another house. And we seen this one house that was just a beautiful home. And boy, it would have been so nice to be able to get that house. But that house was like three times past our budget. But boy, did I want that house. And I thank God that he's always kept me right where he needs me so that I don't do anything foolish. Because if I would have bought that house, I would have had to work every single hour I could possibly work to pay for that house. And I've always been faithful to the house of the Lord. Always. I've never let other things get in my way. I remember one time when I was working at Prestolite, they were getting ready to go on strike. And I knew they were going to go on strike. The contract was up the 1st of February. And so one of two things was going to happen. They'd either settle the contract and I'd get laid off, or they'd go on strike and I'd end up on strike pay. I knew those two things would happen. So I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to work this month. And I think I worked every single day of the month. Only time in my life that I've worked 7 days where I wasn't in the house of the Lord. I was dogmatic about not working Sundays because I wanted to be in the house of the Lord. And I had responsibilities, and I thank the Lord for that. And so anyways, they did. They settled the contract, and I got laid off, which was the best scenario. But I knew that I couldn't afford a lot of things. And I stayed within the means that the Lord had provided for me. And I learned how to build, so we built onto the house and made it bigger. We actually put three additions on this house that I had. And I was able to maintain. I was still able to do all the things that the Lord wanted me to do. So in other words, he blessed me because I listened to him instead of going and buying that big house that I couldn't afford and then having to work so that I couldn't do the things that the Lord wanted me to do. So I was blessed in that. And I've been blessed throughout my Christian walk because I have listened to those things. I've lived a simple life. I've been contented with what I have. And God has blessed me because of that. And so we have to watch temptation. How many of you know what I'm talking about here? Have you been tempted to do something that you really wanted, but you couldn't get the Holy Spirit to agree with you? Yeah. I know there's been times when I said, Lord, I want that. And the Lord said, you can't have it. I mean, not out loud, but I felt it in my spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if we're allowing him now, if we're allowing the Holy Spirit to do the work that he wants to do in us, then we will make good decisions. But again, there's only one way that that can happen. What are we feeding into our minds? The scripture tells us that we're supposed to renew our minds after the Holy Spirit comes in, after we've been born again of the Spirit of God. He tells us to renew our minds. And so we do that by getting God's word into our minds. And then when it comes into our minds, it goes into the heart. And it causes us to be the men and women and the boys and girls that God wants us to be. We act the way we're supposed to act. We do what we're supposed to do. And we recognize when we don't. The Holy Spirit desires to have our attention all the time. He wants to speak to our hearts and our lives. I had a simple thing happen. I shared this in class. This is the Holy Spirit now. If we let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do in us. And this just happened about a month ago, I guess it's been now. I went for a walk in the evening. It was still light out, and I was walking down my driveway, and I seen a piece of freeze pop, them plastic things there in the yard. And I don't like things laying in the yard. So I went over, and I picked it up, and I put it in my pocket. And I walked across the road onto the path. We've got a walking path there. And a neighbor has got like a junkyard over there. He's got a whole bunch of tractors and junk. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't live there. And his property is all growed over. So I'm walking down the path, and I take that piece of paper, and I was going to throw it in the neighbor's field. I didn't want it in my yard. I was going to throw it in his field, and the Holy Spirit said to me, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this before, but it's almost like he's right there. He said, "You're not going to throw that in that yard, are you?" And I said, "Okay, Lord, I get it." I put it back in my pocket. I went on my walk, came back home, and I threw it in the trash where it should have been. Yeah, yeah. That's just a small, small example. That's not the first time it happened to me. I'm just going to tell this story because it is kind of funny. I was in Toledo working, and I had my motorcycle down there, and I drove my car down, but I had my bike down there so that when I'm going home, I could ride along the border in Ohio. There's a really nice road there, and I just loved it. It was just relaxing, and I didn't have to have a helmet on. And I would always stop and get me a cup of, you know what, McDonald's coffee, and it fit right in my handlebars. And boy, I would just, you know, be strolling on down that road going on home after I'd finished my day. And I'd sip on that coffee, and the wind was blowing my hair. That's back when I had hair. And it was blowing my hair. I loved it. So once I got so far down the road in Ohio, I had to turn and go into Michigan because I stayed at the Church of God in Adrian, Michigan. So as soon as I crossed the border, I'd have to pull over and put my helmet on. So I pull over, and I put my helmet on. I took my last sip of coffee that was there, and I threw it in a ditch. This was like 20 years ago when this happened. It's close to that. I threw it in a ditch, and I take off down the road, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He said, "You're not going to leave that back there, are you?" And I said, this is exactly what I said. I said, "Lord, you're not going to make me go back there and get that, are you?" And he said, "Yes, go back and get that cup." So I turned around. I was about a mile down the road. I turned around. I went down, and I picked up that cup. Now, you know, that sounds stupid, doesn't it? But you know what? I'm so happy that the Holy Spirit speaks to me and tells me these things. Because I want to do what Jesus would do. That's the way I live my life. And that's the way I've lived my life for over 50 years. So that only happens because I have developed my spirit man. Because I'm telling you some good things, but there's been bad things. I got so mad at my wife once, and I told her, I said, I know this is a change of life. You're going through the change of life because you are absolutely driving me crazy. She said, "No, it's not the change of life. I'm too young." I said, "I don't care. This is it. This is your chance. That's, you don't get another one." But you know, she got me so mad one time during that, and if any of you know me at all, you know I don't swear. God took that away from me, and I thank God so much for that. But I said, I can count on one hand. Well, one of those ones was when she drove me so nuts, I said, you make me so darn mad, but I didn't say darn. And I tell you, it just about broke my heart. We've all been there. You're just so frustrated. You don't know what to do. But the Holy Spirit was there, and I knew that I had to forgive her and forgive me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does to us. But he does that when he's able to do that because you've allowed him to come in, and he comes in, he speaks his word to us. That's what's important, is the word of God. Okay, I want to say a little bit more about the spirit man now. But we must walk in the spirit to overcome fleshly desires. So I want you to think about that. That's another prayer I always pray. I said, Lord, I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't hear your voice every day. Something. I want to hear you speaking to me. I want to always be open, have my ears open to what the Spirit of God has to say. So he says, Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Now, how does that happen? How do we do that? Again, if the Spirit of God is on the inside of us and we feed the Spirit, we have the Word of God coming into us, then the Holy Spirit will speak to us. He'll say, don't you throw that cup in the ditch. Don't you throw that piece of paper in the man's field next door. He will say these things to us. Don't say that to your wife. You know better. And believe me, I had to learn this, you know. And y'all have too had to learn that if you've been married any amount of time at all. We learn that, but the Holy Spirit teaches us. He will teach us and he will show us. So how do we learn to walk in the Spirit? Because I believe that we do, that we have to learn that. In Psalms 36:9, I really like this verse. Says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In your light. Now, there's a lot of lights in the world, if you will. And we can figure out things, and we can make decisions based upon our knowledge and what we feel is good and proper. We can do that, but that's our light. That's not God's light. We need to enter into the light of God. And he says, in your light, we see light. That's the light of the Lord. That's where he wants us to be. He wants us to let our light shine, isn't it? Bill, you had some messages on that, and you're talked about how we can cover the light up. We don't want to cover it up. We want the light of Jesus to shine in our lives. And let me ask you today, is the light of Jesus shining in your life? If it is, God is going to give you opportunity to be a blessing. Somewhere, somehow, you will be a blessing if your light's shining. He'll give you opportunity. You know, sometimes we try to force ourselves to do the things of God. But we don't have to force ourselves to do the things of God. If we will let the light of God shine, let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do, it will naturally transition into opportunities to be able to share the love and the goodness of God. If God's light is shining in us. In Psalms 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. Think about that verse now. The entrance Is God's word coming in? The entrance of God's word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And I know that that verse is true, because I don't look at myself as anything. I'm not a very educated man, but I believe that God has given me wisdom, even though I may be a simple man, because of the entrance of God's word. I have knowledge. I have wisdom. I'm not just simple anymore. God has used me, and he will use you. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. And what does he say? He who follows me. Are you following Jesus, or are you still a soul man doing what you think is okay? And, well, I don't have to go to church every Sunday. And sometimes even when I listen to the songs, they get a little long, and I don't like it, or I don't like that song. Why don't we sing these kind of songs? We've talked about this a lot, of why we do what we do. But you see, the soul man, your soul, if you're living a soulish life, then you're going to be, you'll get upset. You'll be tempted to speak words that you shouldn't speak, instead of allowing the Spirit of the Lord. I like what Pastor Bill said this morning about the sacrifice of praise. Because you know, every time you come into this sanctuary, you're not going to be ready to praise him. But because you know that you're in his house and you know that his Spirit is here, Lord, I offer unto you the sacrifice of praise. That is the fruit of my lips, giving praise unto your name. Lord, you are worthy. I don't care how I feel, because that's soulish again. I don't care how I feel. I'm more concerned in what I know, and I know that you are worthy. So if I don't feel that emotion that I want to feel, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to praise you, because I will praise you. I will praise you in your house. And I know, Lord, that you will fill me up and you will bless me. Psalms 119, 105, most of us know this verse. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word. We must have the word of God. We got to get word of God into our hearts and into our lives. Again, I can remember my sister, who's passed on now, but I went over to her house and she said, I just have a hard time reading. She's a little bit older than me. She says, I have a hard time reading and I just can't read the Bible. And I said, well, there's a Bible app and it'll read it to you. Just follow along. But get that word into you. I want you to examine yourselves today, and I want you to decide, am I getting the word of God into my heart and into my life? If you're not satisfied, if life isn't fulfilling you the way that you feel that it should, that's probably one good reason, because you're living a soulish life instead of a spirit-filled life. That's asking us, get my word in you. My word is alive, and it's powerful, and it's unchanging. It will change your life. It will change your mind and your thoughts if you allow it to. Okay, I'm going to conclude. I got 4 points, but don't get scared, because they're only like a half a minute long, okay? So what do we do? What's God asking us to do here today? Acknowledge Jesus in all your ways. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. in all of your ways, acknowledge the Lord. I mean, I'm talking today when you leave this place. If something happens, you have to make a decision. Acknowledge the Lord. You know, it may seem simple. Like, well, Lord, I don't need you on this one. When I need you, I'll let you know. I mean, really, isn't that how we are oftentimes? Instead of saying, Lord, you lead me. Let me do what you want me to do. And God will lead you. The Lord will help you if you acknowledge him. Number two, always pray. Pray without ceasing. And I know every time that I get into a situation that I can't resolve, I don't know what to do, I pray and I ask God. You know, we get caught up in things that we do. We're living life, and I understand that sometimes, you know, our thoughts may be on what we're doing, and that happens throughout the day several times. But when it comes to something where we have to make a decision, then we need to make sure that the Holy Spirit is part of that decision-making process. And we'll make the right decision every time if we do that. So we have to learn to do that. And we do that by praying always. Every situation that requires an answer, do this or do that, let the Lord be involved in that. Pray always. Keep prayer on your lips, talking to Jesus. That's all we're doing. We're talking to the Lord. And then three, we've covered these, but I just want to reinforce it. Keep God's word in your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. So the word of God in our hearts. If the word of God isn't in our hearts, what do you think will happen? We're going to sin against God, just as sure as we're here. But if God's word is there, I cannot remember the countless times where I've been in circumstances and situations where I wasn't sure what to do and the word of God would rise up in my mind. Has that ever happened to you? You're not sure, well, should I say this or do this or whatever? And then all of a sudden, God's word pops up in your mind. That's how he leads you. That's how he controls you, if you will. That's how he will get your spirit to do what he wants to do instead of what you want to do. And then the last point I have here is always know who is in control. Who's in control? He's in control, isn't he? But he's in me. He's in control. So what I'm saying, the reason I made this last point here is that I don't have to do that. My body may be screaming and hollering and saying, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want that house. I'd say, no, old man, you're not in control. The greater one is on the inside of me. The Holy Ghost is living on the inside of me. So I do not have to give in to whatever it is this old man, this old nature is trying to get me to do. Whatever it is that he's lusting after, I don't have to give in to that because I have the greater one on the inside of me. And you, if you are born again, have the greater one on the inside of you. And there isn't anything that the enemy can make you do. Before the greater one come in, you were a slave to that enemy. And he made you do all the things that he wanted you to do. But now that the Lord is in us, we have the greater one on the inside of us. So acknowledge Jesus in all your ways. Always pray. Keep God's word in your heart. And always know who's in control.